Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Scott coming to you live from Shreveport, Louisiana. And today, we're back with video. I don't know what happened yesterday, but fixed it, we're back. And today, we really need to check our emotions at the door as we stand on the wall praying for the Office of the President and seeing what's going on in this nation, which affects the rest of the world to some degree. And today I titled this episode of Praise Him in the Judgment, because when we listen to the prophetic about what's coming, and as we're, and it's interesting how this has been lining up as we've been going through this, our study of the Midnight Watch, and how when, and even not just the Midnight Watch, the Morning Watch, the Evening Watch, and the Middle of the Night Watch, the four watches, and seeing how, as we're studying this, I think it's just the timing of the Lord in all of this, of how it aligns with what we're going through currently, and how the Lord's showing us the importance of releasing our anxieties, releasing our things, and relying upon Him through this season. And today, I think it's ever more important as we go into Memorial Weekend of remembering what has happened and the lives that have been lost, and making sure we're holding ourselves in a place where we're honoring those who have fought for and made the sacrifice for our freedoms that we have today, and an understanding of why it's important to continue to stand and not let certain decisions erode the foundations that was the original tent of this nation. And I'll start in Psalms 119, verse 62. Is this brief passage, and it clearly outlines a descriptor of how we can walk through this season. And it's very simply, David puts, "At midnight I shall rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous ordinance." Or in the King James, it says righteous judgments. And so I think that's it's a very key that even when David was seeing God's righteous ordinances, His judgments come down, he still praised the Lord through that. And if you think about the events and calling for this justice, that justice, and everything in between, is these are the things we've been crying out for, and now it's possibly coming. And just understand that that's where what we've been asking for. You know, God, how can you let this happen? How can you let that happen? And then judgment's coming, and it doesn't mean everyone's innocent and gonna be spared through it all. But it's showing that here, David's showing of a posture to take as we walk through this. And so Chuck points out something through this is something we can walk through ourselves and pray, is that in the middle of the night, he says, "Rise up and bless the Lord," and he emphasizes that. He says, "Thank Him for everything He has blessed you with throughout the day, as you're going throughout the day, and especially if you're awoken in the night for whatever reason, to just give thanks to the Lord for what He has walked you through, the situations, whether good, bad. Thank Him through it all, because sometimes, you know, God disciplines those who He loves, etc. And with the warnings of the coming, we talked about it Sunday, the dual outpouring of the Lord is to, as we align ourselves with His will and cover ourselves in His blood through this season, of how we can be protected and walk through this with a peace that can be an example for those around us. All right. With that, I want to look at some things that have happened, and with this Texas situation that popped off yesterday, that I think are really key on why it's important to check your emotions and not just dive into the first thing that comes out on an issue like this. And obviously, there are those who are trying to make it political with what Beto O'Rourke is doing, and unfortunately, what the president is doing. And I want to point this out because it's not just a one-sided issue. There are both sides on this who are questioning what is coming out. And the reason I say that is because even MSNBC is saying the police keep changing the story on this situation. And there are two key aspects that I want to point out today. Is the first is, you know, when he was entering the school, the story is there was a police there to have a interaction with. Well, now the story comes out that that's not true. And the second part is that supposedly they had to wait an hour. Police had to wait an hour before they could go in because they didn't have the proper equipment, etc. And these are rumors. I'm not saying this is 100% true. I'm saying these are the stories that are out there. And this is why it's important to stay back, wait for the evidence to come forward. And unfortunately, the communicator should have done that for the police, and they didn't. Maybe it's because it's a small town. Police, I don't know. I'm not accusing. I'm just saying maybe. Like, there's a lot going on here. But also is now the New York Post has reported that the police officer, the Border Patrol agent who went in, and protected the children and shot the gunman, went in because his wife was a teacher at the school, texted him saying, you know, I love you, there's a shooting going on. And he was at a barber shop, took the barber shotgun, and went and saved his daughter and the rest of the kids in school. And if I remember correctly, the story is he got injured as well. And now the narrative is, well, we were waiting for tactical, we were waiting for Border Patrol. I mean, I'm not an expert in police and relationships and communities with police, but I don't believe. I mean, to me, why is Border Patrol? My question is, why is Border Patrol your tactical? If it is, okay, that's fine. That makes a lot of sense. But if not, like, I don't know. I'd have to talk to a police officer. If you guys know, police officers is border in areas where there is Border Patrol, are they tactical? Because in South Florida, there was Border Patrol because of literally the border. When I lived down there, I saw Border Patrol, but they were never involved in being tactical. I mean, you had SWAT, you had your own tactical units for your local police and sheriff's office. You didn't rely on Border Patrol. So there's a lot of questions. And I say that is I'm not an expert, but I'm saying it's a lot of questions that are going unanswered. And I think this is really important and key for us, whatever side we're on this issue, is to really check our emotions and make sure we're being objective when the news is coming out, because there's a lot of things that are being said and politicizing about stuff that is divisive, and something we really need to be careful of in this season. So with those two points there of those story that just something doesn't add up. When I first heard it, it's like, okay, let's wait and see, because usually, you know, find more evidence, becomes more clear, and everyone's blaming guns. Let's blame guns, which is leading to a group of bipartisan politicians in the Senate to come together and to discuss what can we do to prevent an issue like this. And it has to only be guns, which is okay. So somebody says, yes, Border Patrol has a special unit called Border Tech for Crisis. But again, my question would be are they allowed to interact with local police? Because in South Florida, they weren't necessarily involved. They had local. Is Border Patrol called in because it's such a smaller community and they don't have a SWAT? Maybe that's the case. And if you know that, I mean, that would clarify a lot of things. But again, why is a gentleman this gentleman was off duty. This Border Patrol was off duty, and then because of a text from his wife, went in and then with the random shotgun from a barbershop and protected him and saved him. So there's a lot of things going on. I think some clarity will come out through this, hopefully with time. So let's just keep cheek our emotions there. But back to the story here is now politicians are getting involved. And I want to be very clear, is there's some things that have happened in the past with some of these politicians that are very alarming. And I dealt with this firsthand in Florida with now Senator Rick Scott, former governor of Florida, Rick Scott, in some of the things that he's going to be advocating for and talking with for. And so there's a group of not supposedly bipartisan gun group hyper-focused on realistic legislation. And their idea is to push the needle, and who these people are I want to get the list right, of Senator Chris Murphy from Connecticut, Kyrsten Sinema from Arizona, Joe Manchin from West Virginia, Richard Blumenthal, Connecticut. And again, these just these four Democrats right here, they oppose each other on pretty much everything. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in these negotiations. And then you have Martin Heinrich from New Mexico, Lindsey Graham from South Carolina, which having him in a room always makes things very interesting. And then Susan Collins from Maine and retiring Pat Toomey. Bill Cassidy phoned in from Louisiana, and Murphy, Senator Chris Murphy, has also talked with John Cornyn from Texas, who will be involved, who has got the blessing of Mitch McConnell, and then also Senator Rick Scott of Florida, who says he's open to a federal red flag law. And this is on a separate issue. Maybe this will become a part of this discussion. And ultimately, Kyrsten Sinema said that there's a shared agreement on red flag, which I think might be in place to start the conversation to actually get something done for real. That would make a difference to people. Now, with that being said, we know where this negotiation might be headed. The idea that they're going to be talking about red flag laws is very, very alarming. It raises a red flag in and of itself. And Real Clear Politics does a great job of actually pointing this out, of Nikki Gosar and Thomas Massey, who it's a commentary of what could possibly happen in a situation with red flag laws would be put in place. Now, the idea of red flag laws, and this has been implemented in Florida, other states and counties throughout the country, and it's very alarming about what happens. Basically, what it allows is it allows due process to be removed in a situation where a judge deems evidence based upon a phone call, somebody suspecting something, not on actual hard evidence, and you don't always get representation in the courts, which that's part of due process, and it is innocent until proven guilty. The Fifth Amendment, which is what our nation is founded upon and something we want to stand upon here. And this is just on the gun issue. I have another article I want to go through that really talks about some of the situations that in Texas, but in this issue, and they raise a good point of, if you put in red flag laws, what are the unintended consequences, and could it potentially cause more harm than actual good? And they lay out a scenario in here where, let's say, a stalker comes to a family's home, and this is all hypothetical. And what happens when the stalker kills the husband, but then this is an actual story where a stalker killed the husband, but then in front of her. And then so a well-meaning family member says that this person is suicidal. The wife is suicidal because the husband's dead. And then they go in and take her guns away to protect herself from the stalker, who's still at large. You're now creating a situation where this person can't defend themselves, or in situations where there's no evidence to prove that somebody is emotionally damaged or whatever. Let's say they don't like you, you're a Christian, whatever the case may be. Well, he has guns, red flag law, take his guns away. You have to pay for the court proceedings. Then, and what I've seen in Florida is they don't always give you your guns back, even if you win the case. And if you do, you have to pay outrageous fines and things like that. Even if you're innocent, if you did nothing wrong, you still have to go through this process and potentially have yourself at risk. So this is a problem with red flag laws. And then also Dana Loesch, who is an author gun advocate, points out something very, a few things very, very interesting. And I think some questions that arise that need to be answered before we go straight for guns. And she points it out very succinctly in a Twitter post saying, and she talks about it on her radio show too as well. I don't listen to it, but I follow her and I like hearing what she says because she's lived this situation before of why it's important to have guns and even currently with protecting her family in some situations where she's had death threats because of her political stances. And she has six questions. Number one, how did this murder get into the school, which I think that's come out. And this was a couple of days ago. She had these questions. What security did the school have and how can we protect schools like we protect our concerts, banks, and museums? Where were his parents and the adults in his life? How did he buy a handgun? Did he pass a background check? No one in his house saw what was going on. And I think these are very important questions, which get to the point of, I mean, 4 and 5 are dealing with a gun, but there's other issues there that show like, okay, there's more than one reason of why this popped off. And you're seeing the narrative that, you know, from everybody and their mom saying, well, it's all the gun's fault, 100%. And obviously there are those who understand that. There are those who look at the gun as the issue and look, this kid had a problem. A problem with authority. He was a school dropout. Some say he had a job. Some say he didn't have a job. But the real interesting thing is that when you look deeper into this, there were some issues. He cut his face up. He went around town shooting BB guns at random people. Police had to come confront him to deal with some issues. He had confrontations with his mother and his family, his grandmother, which is why he didn't like her. And then also, I'm going to point this out because I think this needs to be pointed out because this is not just in this issue. This is in other issues as well, is the fact that he loved to smoke marijuana. And the source from this is the New York Times. And they've since removed this from their website, which is kind of interesting. Why would you remove that portion of the narrative? For what purpose? And there's a gentleman by the name of Alex Berenson who has studied the fruits of cannabis users who smoke marijuana. And in this instance, this is a very interesting aspect of this, is he said that there were someone familiar with his situation, and they were quoted from the New York Times and saying that the gentleman who went into the school said he would often talk about how much he despised his mother and grandmother, whom he told her did not let him smoke weed or do what he wanted. The same instance of use in the Parkland incident, in the Texas church shooting a couple years ago, and in the Waukesha Christmas parade, where the gentleman was a self-described stoner. And then other host of issues. And I bring that up as this becomes more popular and I think is evidence of some questions that need to arise around whether to legalize or not legalize, as Denver has seen homicides rise to the highest level in years. And Alex Berenson, he says this is his new tagline. He says, cannabis causes psychosis and psychosis causes violence. And spiritually, what you're doing there, and me and John may end up doing a conversation about this soon. Spiritually, what you're doing is you're entering into the spiritual world via a back end when you're smoking marijuana, doing drugs, getting drunk, etc. And so you're interacting in the spiritual world with who knows what and what could happen. And then you wonder why things like this come off happen. When these type of people are doing these things, how could they get influenced? There's no plot. There's this, that, and the other. It's a video game. It's this and that. Again, our battle's not in flesh and blood. It's in the supernatural. I'm paraphrasing there, Ephesians. And hopefully you get my point. So I say all that to say about this situation is let's pray for and repent for the bloodshed in Texas and intercede for our leaders as they are now both Republican and Democrat coming together to have the fear of the Lord when deciding what to do next and continue to support the original intent for this nation and to stand up for freedom. Maybe there is something they can do. Maybe there isn't. I'm not saying I have all the answers. The Lord does, and that's why we want to pray for our leaders, pray for this president and this administration to have the fear of the Lord so that they can continue to support the original intent of this nation and to stand for freedom. So we'll stand on the wall there. And then a few things before we close out this weekend and take a break for Memorial Day is we're seeing reports on the economy come out. And I want to say this because if you've been listening to us, you're prepared. You should be prepared. You should be, you know, gearing towards getting out of debt. You should have some canned goods, some resources, and are ready if something were to decline even more and shelves were continue to decline as they are right now. Because what we're seeing is that reports have come out showing that the U.S. economy shrank for the first part of 2022 as well. And what's really interesting about this is, number one, we're not producing enough, and a lot of this has to do with the inability to get resources from China to make products here, which is a whole dynamic that's really weird. But as far as consumers and what people are saying and analysts are saying and economists are saying is that, look, when we see this downturn of what's going on, a gentleman by the name, I'm trying to make sure I have his name right. Analyze a report from the Bureau of Economic Analysts showing these issues, and Heritage Foundation research fellow E.J. Antoni was in discussion, had a back and forth with Daily Wire, and talked about how the situation, and saying that there is very little good news moving into the second quarter. And look, a lot of this has to do with the fact of if you're using debt. This is where this narrative comes from. Oh, this is bad because, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And if you're using cash, yeah, you may be paying a little bit more, but you understand that you can or cannot afford things. You're adjusting your lifestyle based upon very things. So it's not really, yes, it's hitting you a little bit, but, and myself included, because me and my wife have taken on the decision to not use debt for obviously small purchases. And that's the situation where people are getting themselves in trouble. And he points it out here. He says there, and I've talked about this before. I want to read this quote. He says, there is a large amount of wholesale inflation that will be passed on to consumers in the coming months. And almost all other data are pointing in the wrong direction. We've talked about that before. The PPI is higher than CPI, which tells you even big box stores, every store, anybody who's purchasing things, manufacturing, the middleman, before it gets to the end store, the end user, they've been eating costs for the past 6 months to a year. And it's getting to a point where they can no longer do that. So you're going to see inflation start to rise even more, CPI start to rise even more. Even the last couple of months, it's been kind of stagnant. And he says there's a long way to go before inflation is under control. So the second quarter will be very likely. We'll very likely still see same problems plagued with the first 3 months of the year. And here's the interesting thing for consumers. He said consumers have depleted all of their savings from the pandemic. Real wages have declined and credit card debt is exploding. So when they talk about, oh, this is all happening, the economy, it's hurting people. Yes, okay, it's hurting people a little, but when you're using credit card debt to maintain a standard of living that you couldn't afford even from the very beginning, that's where the issue comes into play. And this is where people are really going to get hurt. And he goes in and says, people cannot afford to maintain their standard of living and are going into debt just as borrowing costs are set to explode. This is a recipe for disaster. This is why if we're listening to what the Lord's been saying and living life on principles of not using debt, of getting out of debt, and what that forces you to do is analyze your situation of, well, can I really afford this? Can I really be doing this? All just to keep up with the Joneses? For what purpose? The Joneses are drowning in debt as well. And that's a lot of time when you look back at these situations, what you see. So I say all this to say is, this is if we're listening to what the Lord's been saying, and this is something new we haven't heard before, get out of debt. Get in a situation where you're no longer relying upon credit cards to purchase everyday items as your means of why you're purchasing something. And obviously, if there's a timing of everything, if you use credit cards, some people do, some people don't. I'm not here to get in that. But it's just, if you're using as the reason of why you're going to purchase something, not because you have the money, then that's a causing alarm. And then some news to pay attention to is the housing market is expected to cool down because interest rates are rising. That's a normality. Some people say housing prices could continue to go down. Hopefully the Fed will continue to raise interest rates, which will cause it to go down even more, which would be the right decision. It would hurt some people as far as interest rates rising, but it would cause people to analyze their situation to put more down on a house, number one, but then understand how much they can really afford and not just jump into something because interest rate was so low. And then last thing I want to talk about is something, this is something we really need to pay attention to and pray for our leaders now and in the season ahead, as we're seeing now the Energy Secretary, Jennifer Granholm, saying that because gas prices are soaring, it is the major reason we need, as the entire U.S. economy, need to transition away from fossil fuels towards green energy. If you were reading the tea leaves before, you saw this was coming. Now they're no longer hiding it. They're talking about it. They're pushing it forward. And she's excited about announcing a $38 million investment by the Department of Energy to decarbonize its national laboratories. And this is only a pennies on the dollar of what it would cost to take the entire U.S. economy off of fossil fuels towards the Green New Deal, renewable energy, which is still unproven yet. If private sector wants to do this, there's no problem with that. But the problem is private sector is relying upon governments to fund it. In China, the only reason renewable energy companies, electric car companies, are able to survive and provide cars at such a low cost is because of the subsidies that the government provides them. Same thing for Tesla. Tesla wouldn't be around if it weren't for subsidies from the federal government that you and I pay for. And also, it's just something to pay attention to in the days ahead. We have prophetic warnings about going down this road. And so we want to just continue to pray for our current and future leaders to have the, and to arise, those who can arise, to have the fear of the Lord, understand the times and seasons we are in, and use wisdom and revelation to clearly define the policies they're running on as we are entering into this campaign season and advocating for and implementing while they're in office. And so as we see these things come up, know that through relationships, through understanding your local state, your local municipality, city, county, parish, if you're in Louisiana, elections, as they're arising this year, next year, in the coming years, of where these people stand. And so we'll watch this coming forward. And again, this is a day to keep our emotions in check with the news that's coming out. It can be very emotional. It can be very pulling us in this direction and that direction. And we really just want to be on what is the Lord saying in this situation? What's going on? And I think for this Texas situation, it's still kind of early. And we need to wait for more evidence to come out before we get all caught up in everything. And hopefully it can bring us peace through this season. And understanding what to do, because now, as schools let out, this might be a discussion of planning what to do in the future. And again, it goes back to the six questions of what has happening at the school. Why weren't the parents involved? How did he get a gun? Did he pass a background check? Stuff like that. It's not just guns is the problem, number one. There's a host of issues that need to be answered from politicians, and why it's important for us to stand on the wall praying for this nation and the office of the president and our leaders throughout this nation as they try to make decisions that they deem is best for protecting people as well. So with that, I will close out this week. We'll be back today with our noon prayer online only, and then back Sunday Again, we'll be off Monday for Memorial Day, at least I will. And we will be back on Tuesday, standing on the wall, praying for the office of the president. So blessings, and I will see you guys later. And hopefully you guys have a great weekend with family and friends and are able just to spend some time together and reflecting on the lives that have made the sacrifices to stand for our freedoms. Blessings, and I will see you guys later. Have a good one.